So as my guys bring up some props here this Sunday, just I have a little extra story just for y'all as they're bringing this up. Last Saturday, I jumped in a road race on my bike down in Austin, Texas, Lake Travis area, Lago Vista. And I really had gotten my hopes up, y'all, that I was going to finish in the top five, that I just thought, okay, if I'm there at the end of the race, I know that I'm strong enough to outsprint some people at the end. So here was my finishing spot. Out of the 25 people that finished the race, Neil Tomba finished 24 out of 25. There you have it. I have a hope. And I'm going to tell you, it's not in bike racing. Sorry, Brandon, I forgot to bring my little H. So we're going to be talking, y'all. I'm going to show you this big H and little H hope. That's my bike racing there, my little H hope, okay? So to start this, can we all agree on something? Can we agree on this? That we live in an imperfect world of unmet expectations, broken dreams, and painful suffering. Raise your hand if you can agree that we live in an imperfect world of unmet expectations, broken dreams, and painful suffering. And you can see kind of the results of that every time you read the news about school shootings and opioid crisis, and the list goes on, and I do believe we need an interjection of hope, big H hope. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about hope. And here's what we're going to talk about. This week, we're going to talk about when hope flourishes. Next week, we're going to talk about when hope tyrannizes. I really want to encourage you, do not miss next week and bring your friends, okay? On Palm Sunday, we're going to talk about when hope dies. And then on Easter, where I will encourage you again to bring your friends for a great Easter service, when hope appears. Y'all are laughing at me. When hope appears, and we'll also be having our Tenebrae Good Friday service. Now, I was thinking about a time, trying to think about a time that I had this kind of hopeful moment in my life. Obviously, it wasn't last Saturday. But I was thinking about when I got to take a trip to the Holy Land. How many have been able to take a trip to Israel? Yeah, I see some folks that I was on that trip with. And I remember this, just getting to be at the Sea of Galilee and swimming in the Sea of Galilee and just this sense of hopefulness, thinking, wow, Jesus, God, came to earth and he walked on this sea. And I was also thinking about just whether we were hiking around or the different places, this one place in Gamla where there's this remains of an old synagogue, and I got to preach there, and I'm thinking about when Jesus is preaching and he heals somebody. You talk about a moment of hope. But I want to tell you about a really hard place we went to that reminded me that we live in an imperfect world of unmet expectations, broken dreams, and painful sufferings. We went to Yad Vashem. It's the Holocaust memorial, the memorial of names. And there's the Hall of Names, that picture there. And when you go into Yad Vashem, it's kind of like a giant warehouse. And it's just room after room after room where you go in and you can watch a video. You can read the story of somebody who died, maybe some letters they had. You see shoes of people. And when you finally walk out of Yad Vashem back in delight, I got to tell you, what haunted me was not just the people who died, but the people who lived through the thing. Because here's what I'm thinking. Could I have ever lived through that? Would there be some kind of something, greater hope in my life that I could make it through that? There's a guy, Viktor Frankl, some of you may have read this book, Man's Search for Meaning, and he was a Holocaust survivor, a Jewish psychiatrist, and he writes about kind of what happened in that place, okay? And one of the things he keeps talking about is this idea of hope. And he said this, just thinking about how important, folks, this is how important hope is, to be able to say, I have a hope. He said, there could be people going along in the prison camp that were under the same duress, stress, physical, whatever, same as everybody else. But one day, it was like a switch went off and they just gave up hope. And they didn't get dressed and they didn't get out of bed. He tells this story of one of his buddies who had told him, I had a dream. I have a dream. On March 30th, the prison camp is going to be freed. We're going to live. And he said, when my friend told me about his dream, he was still full of hope and convinced that the voice of his dream would be right. But as the promised day drew nearer, the war news reached our camp, and it made it apparent that it would be very unlikely that we would be free on the promised date. On March 29th, my friend suddenly became ill and ran a high temperature. On March 30th, the day his prophecy had told him that the war and suffering would be over for him, he became delirious and lost consciousness. On March 31st, he was dead. Phew. Boom, a loss of hope. Now, he tells about another time when they were suffering very intensely, and he said that some guys came to him and said, you're a psychiatrist. We need you to give everybody some hope right now. And he was like, I don't want to do it. But he made a little speech, and he said basically this: whoever's still alive, we have a reason for hope. Health, family, happiness, professional abilities, fortune, position in society, all these are things that could be achieved again or restored. That was his little speech. But later in the book, he writes this: when we spoke about attempts to give a man in camp hope, mental courage, we said that he had to be shown something to look forward to in the future. He had to be reminded that life still waited for him, that a human being waited for his return. And then he asked this question: but after liberation? There were some men who found that no one awaited them. Woe to him who found that the person whose memory alone had given him courage in camp did not exist anymore. Woe to him who, when the day of his dreams finally came, found it so different from all that he had longed for. Perhaps he boarded a trolley, traveled out to home, which he had seen for years in his mind, and only in his mind, and pressed the bell just as he had longed to do in thousands of dreams, only to find that the person who would open the door was not there and would never be there again. And then he goes on to say, we said to each other in camp that there could be no earthly happiness which could compensate for all we had suffered. And here's what Frankl says. He says, here's what had to happen. The people who survived, somehow they had to find a transcendent hope that a prison camp couldn't take away. They had to find a big H hope that an imperfect world where there's unmet expectations and broken dreams and painful suffering could not take away. Got it? So when I say small H hope over the course of the next 4 weeks, I want you to hear this. These aren't bad things. Frankl said, hey, listen, maybe if we get out of this place, we can have health, family, careers restored. Maybe you get to see your kids grow up. And what Frankl is saying is those are all small H hopes. And what the Bible says is this: these are all small H hopes, gifts from God, but here's the deal. Look how flimsy this thing is. This could never be an anchor for your soul, can it? And what we're talking about over the next 4 weeks is something the scripture says can be this: an anchor for your soul. So this Sunday, we're going to talk about when hope flourishes. And I have three words for you. The three words are this: when hope flourishes, there is clarity, tenacity, and generosity. Clarity, tenacity, and generosity. So after I say when hope flourishes, we have, I want you to say those three words. When hope flourishes, we have clarity, tenacity, and generosity. Let's go to the book of Romans. Right there, Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 25, as we talk about this idea of hope. And where hope is flourishing, there is this clarity about the gospel that says this: Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Now, I got to take you back. Romans chapter 1 through 4 says this, church, that no one has hope. Romans chapter 1 through 4 says this: you may be a very good religious person. You may be a person that's done a lot of good things. You may be a person that actually you grew up on the right side of the tracks. In that time, it meant being Jewish. And you know what? That's a small H hope, because your sin will still keep you from a holy God. You may be a Gentile, and you may have tried to do some good things. But Romans chapter 3 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Watch what this text now says. Because of Jesus, who was delivered up for our trespasses, he was raised for our justification. Here's what that means. He was raised so that we could be made right with God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We who were enemies of God are now friends through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And now we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I'm going to put a lot of words, different words, over the course of this series on our Big H Hope. And the first one is this. It is the hope of the glory of God, nothing less. This hope, church, can be an anchor to your soul. When you say, I have a hope, I hope we're talking about something that would cause us to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, again, your small H hopes. Everything that is good behind your small H hopes, I want you to know, you're going to get that and more in the glory of God. Anything that when you look at your imperfect world of unmet expectations, broken dreams, and painful suffering, all the longings that are good in that are going to be caught up in the glory of God. Clarity of that. Now, just to understand a little more about this small H hope, I want to kind of be honest in this sermon and say, I gave you a sermon a while back that said, trust over clarity. Some of you remember that because you've mentioned it to me over and over again. Now, when I say trust over clarity, if we can put that slide up there, guys, please. I am reminded of this story that I shared during that sermon of this great ethicist, Dr. Kavanaugh, who at the end of his life, after he had retired, you know what he was looking for? To figure out what to do with the rest of his life. He wanted it to matter. That's a good thing, isn't it? There's some of you here wondering after you've retired, what's next? What am I going to do? That's a really, really good thing. So he goes to Mother Teresa in Calcutta, to the House of the Dying, to work among there for a little bit of time, but he really wanted to see Mother Teresa. So he gets to see her, and she says to him, what can I do for you? And he says, I want you to pray for me. And she says, what do you want me to pray? And he says, pray that I would have clarity on what I am to do next. And she says, sorry, I'm not going to pray for you for clarity. I'll pray for you for trust. Trust in God. Because you know what she understood? That's just a small H hope. As good as it is, it's not good enough to be an anchor to the soul. And so when I say clarity here, church, I am talking about the clarity that says, right here is a big H hope, and we say this, we exalt in the glory of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 says it this way. There is a mystery that has been hidden from the past ages and generations, and now it has been revealed, shown, manifested to the people of God called the saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we say our big H hope is the glory of God, you know what we're saying? Our big H hope, it's not a thing. It's not any person on this earth. It is a who, though, and his name is Jesus, okay? Our big H hope. That's an anchor for the soul. Let me tell you, just one other place. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, Peter says this, you've been born again into this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. When we talk about a big H hope, we're talking about something that is an anchor to the soul. That in an imperfect world of unmet expectations, broken dreams, and painful suffering, it will not float away, okay? Now, I want to say something here because as I was thinking about this, I'm aware that we live in a culture that when I say when hope flourishes, you know what would have been really awesome today? If I could have said, I finished on the podium at that bike race. And all of us could have gone home and said, man, if Neil can do it, I can do it too, right? If Neil can win a bike race, maybe I can hang on to this job that I'm losing. And if Neil can win a bike race, maybe I can get back a fortune that I lost. And then I tell you, I came 24th out of 25th, and it kind of spoils it. And you say, wow, that doesn't feel very hopeful. Does it matter anything I do here? Watch what C.S. Lewis says about this. C.S. Lewis says, hope is one of the theological virtues, faith, hope, and love. This means that a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who do the most for the present world were just those who thought the most of the next. Did you get this, y'all? The people who thought the most about their big H hope, they didn't check out of the world. They didn't check out and say, my job doesn't matter. They didn't check out and say, It doesn't matter, you know, I can't do anything good, and I'm just going to try to hang on in this imperfect world. You know what? They were the people who said, because I had this big H hope, and I'm just clinging to this thing for dear life, it means all those small H hopes, I don't have to cling to them. So if I have some money, I can share it. And give people a taste, a little preview of a hope that says there's going to be enough to go around for all. Because I'm not clinging to this, that little H hope, I can hold it in a way that I'm free to let others be a part of that and get a taste of the day when there's coming a hope that will never perish, spoil, or fade. Got it? Now, that's the clarity. I want to talk about this next word, tenacity, okay? We've said that when hope flourishes, there's this clarity, there's a tenacity, and a generosity. Tenacity. Now, some of you need to hear that when I say tenacity, I'm not talking about a certain personality, okay? Trait of, we'll call it optimism or positivism, which are good things. And I like being around those people. But when I talk about a big H hope and that hope flourishing, I'm talking about everybody here. I don't care about your personality, and I don't care how imperfect your world is right now, that you can have some big H hope, okay? Telling you that story about my little race reminds me of, I had a, about 5 years ago, I had a tumor in my small intestine. It had to be cut out, and at that time, I had thought, you know, this is what came to my mind, kind of weird. I've never done a half Ironman, and I've always wanted to do one, and I'm not getting any younger, and now I'm starting to have problems, so I better go enter a half Ironman. So I entered a half Ironman 13 months after that surgery. Now, that particular day in Galveston, Texas, was very hot. We go swimming in the ocean with no, we couldn't have a wetsuit on because it was too hot, so I'm getting all salty and everything. And we get out of that water, and it starts storming when I'm on the bike. I mean, the rain is coming down. I can hardly see. And it was, so a half Ironman, you swim a mile, you ride your bike 52 miles, and then you run 13 miles, all hopefully in one day. And so we go 26 miles out, and then you have to turn around and come back. And when at the point of the race I was in, when we turned around on that 26 miles, the wind was now in our face at about 15 miles an hour. So I'm giving it all I can on my bike, and it's like I've forgotten there's a run to come. So when I finished the bike, I couldn't get off the bike. I had to bring it to a complete stop and lean it over, and then I put my shoes on and I start running. Now it was like four laps. And there's people along there cheering you on. And there was some guy, and I hope he's not here today. I didn't know who he was, but obviously he knew me because I was a pastor. And every time he would see me, he would scream at me and say, "Smile, Neil!" It was about 85 degrees and the sun had come out for the run, okay? And I wanted to say, "You smile," okay? So we go by a second lap. "Smile, Neil!" And I'm really getting aggravated. Third lap, I'm hoping not to see him, okay? Now, I want to tell you something. I didn't have a smile on my face, but it wasn't because I didn't have hope. I knew. I knew I was going to finish that race. And I looked at my watch, and I was looking like I was going to finish about a half hour faster than I had planned, which meant that I had a good chance of beating Philip Biles, our family minister. I had a lot of hope. Sorry, Philip, I know you're out there today. I'm going to try not to look at you. It's all fun. I want you to hear this. When we talk about tenacity and this big H hope, sometimes it looks like a smile on people's faces. And sometimes it looks like a tear in the eye. And sometimes it looks like both. So don't check out on me here. You see, Paul says this. He says in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, after talking about the gospel, he says, "Not only that, but we actually rejoice in our sufferings." That sounds really weird to me, okay? He says, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces this perseverance, endurance. And this perseverance and endurance produces character." Now, let me say something about this. Viktor Frankl, in that book, Man's Search for Meaning, he said an interesting thing. We're going to go to this next slide here for a moment. He said this, "Life in a concentration camp tore open the human soul and exposed it to its depths." You know what he said? And God, help me not to have to experience something like that. He says, "Life in a concentration camp tore open the soul." And everybody knew very, very clearly, as all their small H hopes were right there, totally exposed, being ripped up, torn up, burned up, thrown away, when Paul says we actually rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces this thing called endurance or perseverance, and that produces a character that's cleaning up what's in us, and out of that, getting rid of that, we get this big H hope. Y'all, I will tell you, if you look at my Audible list of books, my books on Audible on my cell phone, what you're going to see is a ton of books all wrapped around this idea of endurance and tenacity and perseverance. And the latest one I finished just a couple weeks ago was about Ernest Shackleton. Y'all know the guy who wanted to cross the Antarctic, and he goes down there in a boat, and the name of the boat was Endurance. Okay? So they leave. Listen to these dates. They leave on August 1914. August 1914. In January 1915, they get stuck in the ice, okay? Now, the Endurance is stuck in the ice on January 17th. It's not till October 27th that they all get off the boat. All 28 men have to get off the boat. They've been on that boat for 8+ months. They get off that boat, they drag these three little kind of lifeboats around on the ice till they finally get this opening and this green line there, and they take those three boats to Elephant Island. Now we're into April, okay, of 1916. They started in 1914. Shackleton is like, there's no hope for me to get all these guys to the next place we got to go, but I still want them to be saved. And so Shackleton picks five guys. They get in a 22-foot boat to go 800 miles in some of the coldest and roughest seas in the world. That's the blue line there. They attempt to travel 800 miles to South Georgia Island. So it's May 18th, and they've gone 798 miles. And they come to these breakers, and they cannot get through. And it's so fascinating, because the book says that at this point, Shackleton finally lost all hope. And in that moment, there was this incredible freedom where he said, we're going to go for it. They shoot through the breakers. They make it on land. And the whole deal takes, you know, a couple years. And here's the fascinating thing. When he gets there, there's these Norwegian fishermen, these experts of the sea. When they realize he gets a 22-foot boat through the worst seas in the world, 800 miles, you know what they do? They line up to shake his hand. Because they can't believe it. You know, there's a whole list of people in the Bible that it says they had this faith that was wrapped up in a big H hope. And God said about them, man, earth wasn't even worthy of them, that they got the big handshake from God because of their tenacity. It's what God has for people like you and me, who may not have a smile on their face, and it might look more like a tear on their eye, but they hold on to a hope that's an anchor to your soul. Clarity, tenacity, and let me say just very briefly, I want to talk about this thing, generosity, because of what it says in the next verse here. It says, and hope does not disappoint. Some of your Bibles say hope doesn't put us to shame. Hope doesn't leave us in a place where we end up empty-handed, okay? Because the love of God, like a fire hose on us, has been poured out into our hearts. There is more than enough to be generous. It's why when Paul is praying for a church at Colossae, he looks at those believers, and you know what he says? He says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints. Now watch this. the love you have for all the saints because of what? The hope laid up for you in heaven. It's what I was saying earlier. They have locked arms. They are holding on to all their might with an anchor that's called an anchor to their soul. And you know what they're free of? Having to hold on to every little H hope in their life. And it's why, church, we've said this before, the early church blows me away. That they were so convinced of a big H hope in heaven that would never perish, spoil, or fade away, that when the plague hits Rome and everybody's running and everybody's trying to hold on to their little H hope called health, the church is staying back, holding dead people and dying people and sometimes getting sick themselves and dying because they knew they had an anchor to their soul. You know, today I was thinking how to end this sermon. I was going to say, be generous. But you know what I want to encourage you to do? Is just keep reading the story, because I know you're getting reading stories every day that tell you don't have hope. And I'm going to tell you that you would just keep taking your Bible out and you would just keep reading this story. Because it says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, we give thanks to God. And whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. You wonder why you read your Bible. Here's one of the reasons you read your Bible. So that you would keep remembering there's a bigger story. You read your Bible for clarity about your big H hope. And you keep reading and saying, you know what? I know. Whenever this thing is kicked over, I know that's not the end. Folks, I'll tell you what really helped me with this sermon this morning. 3 weeks ago, I was here for a memorial service. And I will tell you, I don't want to be here for a memorial service, especially when it's a 35-year-old mother of two, Annie Niece. My wife and I saw Annie on New Year's Eve. She said, I'm starving to death. She was literally starving to death. She had colon cancer she couldn't eat. She was hungry. And here's the thing. Annie kept holding on to a big H hope. And it's why on her blog, you would keep reading about Jesus and her hope for others to know that big H hope. And it's why, before I ever got up to speak, I'll tell you, I had this moment, y'all, in that memorial service where I thought, I don't need to say anything. Anything I say at this point will be less than, because she had three friends, three ladies here, get up and tell that Annie, because of her big H hope, was a fighter. And to the end, she just kept wanting people to know about Jesus and the big H hope. I tell you, I believe that somebody was waiting to greet her in heaven and say, well done. Well done. Your tenacity, your generosity out of a big H hope. So as our table comes this morning, I want to encourage you. I don't care how long you've been in church. I really want to encourage you to make sure that today your big H hope is wrapped up in Jesus. That your hope isn't in health or being a better person or getting the next right job, and maybe if you pray enough, you'll get those things. I hope you get those things. But I want to encourage you that for all those who have said, Jesus, Romans chapter 1 through 4, I have no hope apart from you. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You get to exalt in the hope of the glory of God. So today might be the day where you just stop and you say, Jesus, I believe that every small H hope will be ripped away one day. And what I need today is an anchor for my soul. And so I confess my sins, and I pray that you would justify me with God. Make me right with God. By your life, death on a cross, and resurrection. And if you pray something like that, I'm going to tell you that the promise of his word is this. You're in. You have access, as Paul says. As the bread and cup come, as you hold that bread this morning, that I just want to remind you, Jesus' body was broken for you so that you today might have hope in an imperfect world of unmet expectations, broken dreams, and painful suffering.